Blog Talk Radio.
EC born, suburb raised, Mr. No Street Cred.
Yeah, this is Ryan, Mr. 33, the mayor, a.k.a.
I remember everybody's voice off his phone. I don't want none. I don't want to hear no niggas talking about they going to that parade. I don't want to see.
All right, so we back in there. Ryan, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
My man. So we black, the glass is half empty, but we got tons of shit to say. Mr. 330, welcome back to the radio show, bro.
Glad to be back. Glad to have the show back, man. It's been a while. A lot been going on, but glad to see everything back on track.
Oh, yeah, man. We're going to get back into it. Today was just the start. We're going to keep it rolling every week. But, man, a lot to talk about since we've been gone. Everybody's favorite sports dad, LeVar Ball. Got Tony Romo in the retire mode. And everybody dissing the Cavs for the sophomore slump. And also, you know, it's playoff time, so we got to do the MVP by those numbers. So first things first, I want to get to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the home team. They now 51-29. They went, 9-8 in their last 17. They just got three more games to play. Now, last year they was just 13-7 in their last 20 games. So not far off of what they are right now. And we all know that was en route to the NBA title. So I don't know, what's all the big deal? Why everybody, you know, talking about the Cavs and not got so much confidence in them? Are they really slumping, or is it just people got, you know, they want to expect too much more of the Cavs since they won the championship now? What's your prediction for the Cavs postseason two?
I feel like when it comes to the whole thing with the Cavs, I actually was just looking at their schedule. They play Miami, and then they play Toronto, which right now, looking at it, they're in the number one, still tied with Boston, but they win the last two games, and Boston wins the last two games. I think they got the tiebreaker because looking at the standings, it has them over Boston, even though they got the same record. But as far as the thing with the Cavs, I actually said that I was like the Cavs are they kind of hit a slump the same time last year too, and I think it's just that people just had that higher expectation of them, and I feel like the Cavs are going to go through that slump. They're going through a slump, but I just don't think that they're zoned in right now. I think that the Cavs have fell into that, oh, we can just turn it off and on when we want to. It's a bad habit to get into, but when you see that it's happened in the past, it's like it's kind of hard to break that habit. Like everybody doesn't come in with that same fire year after year after year. It's like they start off good, but then they towards the end, it's like, okay, well, let's just get ready. Like when playoffs come, we know we good. So I think that that's where they're at right now. I'm not worried about them. I have them still going to the finals. I'm just worried about them when they're actually in the finals because the way that they're playing right now, I don't think they can beat the number one, two, or three seed that's over there in the West.
So not Houston, San Antonio, or Golden State? I don't know. I'm trying to make me still get Houston.
Yeah, I don't
Houston
think
look
they can
good.
Beat any of them the way that they're playing right now.
I feel like that is your squad, so
they
you
just,
know
they
better.
They just blew a 26-point lead. They gave up 44 points in the fourth quarter to Atlanta.
That is true. That is true. And Atlanta's not, I won't say that they're not a very good team, but they're not the team that we thought that they were going to be.
Right. And they're definitely not an offensive team compared to the other teams that's over in the West. So if you gave up 44 points And then for them to give it up 44 points, that's just one quarter. Like, that's ridiculous.
Right. True, true. Meanwhile, over there in the West, you know, the Spurs, even though they dropped a couple of bad losses, mostly for rest and everything, for the most part, been looking good all year. Golden State, even with injuries, I think the injuries kind of helped them because it helped kind of made, you know, Steph Curry or put the league on notice. Steph Curry still, you know, can do his thing. I'm really not worried about anybody in the East, just to be honest, because you got to play the Cavs seven games. One game is one thing. You know how the NBA schedule is. You catch somebody on a good night of back-to-backs. Remember, beginning of the year, the Lakers led wire-to-wire against the Warriors. You know what I'm saying? Beat them by, like, 20. And we all know how on the opposite ends that those two teams are. So I don't put too much into it. I want to be like, we say this every year, playoff is about matchups. And to be honest, only team that can give the Cavs matchup problems, I think, in my mind, only two teams. And that's going to be the Spurs and, of course, the Golden State Warriors, the Golden Boys. But, you know, I guess it makes it interesting.
I think that the Houston Rockets give them a terrible matchup. I watched this last game that they played a couple weeks ago when they were playing against Houston. And I just saw just a lot of stuff that is terrible. They exposed the Cavs on so many different levels. More so, the biggest thing is defensively. Like, the Cavs couldn't keep up with them. They couldn't keep up with any of them. And the Rockets have a lot of firepower that comes on the offensive side. And then they were too big. The Cavs, they exposed the Cavs front court. The Rockets actually probably should have lost that game, but they had so many second-chance points because the Cavs can't play defense or rebound. So, like, I think that's a terrible matchup for the Cavs in that sense. Like, it may look like, okay, the Cavs, the number one or two seed, whatever, in the East, and it's the Cavs that got LeBron, got Kyrie, that got Love. But at the end of the day, Houston still got, you know, superstar over there and some legit role players and, to me, a great supporting cast to help James Harden. And like I said, they exposed them defensively, and then they exposed the Cavs front court. That's why I said I don't think the way the Cavs are playing right now that they can beat the number one, two, or three seed, because it's some big issues that need to be addressed before they even think about they like to go back to back.
True. I like the numbers. I mean, in the matchups, yeah, you're pretty much right. It's just when I see the Rockets, with all respect to them, they did shatter the 3-point record, which what the Warriors just set, what, last year? Or was it the year before? They just set that record last year, the NBA all-time mark for threes in a season, 14.
I think it was last year.
And then just 1 year later, the Rockets is beating it, smashing it. So, you know, I give them props where props is due. Again, that's mostly, to me, it's D'Antoni's system and then Harden, you know, just, you know, being that MVP type of player. But I think when it comes down to it, it's, like I said, it's a playoff. Seven-game series. Is guys going to be shooting like that every game for all seven games? And no, I don't think that. I'm not scared of Houston. If I had to see Houston, if I'm Cleveland and I see Houston out of those three teams, I like my chance.
Well, yeah, I think Houston, they have the best chance out of all those teams. They got the best chance of beating Houston. Like, they will be a favorite. But even like what you said with the matchup, like, yeah, they may not be shooting like that every single night, but shoot, they've been doing it the whole year, so I wouldn't put my money against them not being able to do it in a seven-game series either. I mean, they've been doing it all year, and it's like, and even that day that they beat the Cavs, like I said, they weren't shooting good at all, really. It's just they had all these second-chance points because they were on the board. So it's like, even with that being said, they don't have to be on fire. If they would have been on fire, they probably would have blew the Cavs over like 20-something. But well, they did because of something. But they would have probably beat them by more. But because of that, you know what I'm saying? They actually were off that night. But the Cavs got exposed. Their help defense was terrible. They got guys who, if you get past me, oh, nobody's stepping up to play defense. They, as soon as they get past them, they don't even try to get back to help defensively. Like if it's JR or Trump or somebody's guarding a person and they get past them, that person just stops playing defense. They don't even try to go after the guy who got the ball or do anything. It's just like they just give up. Then they start looking at each other. Everybody got their hands up, looking like that emoji on their iPhone, got their hands up in the air. Like, what's going on?
It's that sophomore slump. They're the champions. Now, real quick, what's your prediction for the Cavs in the playoffs? Where you think they? How you think they're going to finish it out?
Man, as of right now, I need to see them. Right now, I have them in the finals. I have to see how they play in their finals before I can give you a prediction on what they're going to do in the finals. But I definitely have them going to the finals.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, so moving, switching gears right along from the champions to the MVP. So first off, this has been one of the most exciting MVP races I can remember in a long time. Okay, I can think of 2010, Kobe got his first one. Kobe, Chris Paul had came out of nowhere, and it came down to them two, and I think it was like the third to last game, and they played each other, and basically it was like Kobe won it then. I remember Iverson's year winning it, but this year it's crazy. I really think that it could be co-MVPs this year. MVP candidate Russell Westbrook, he just broke that 55-year-old record, 41 triple-doubles in a season with his 42nd against the Denver Nuggets, 50 points, 16 rebounds, and 10 dimes tonight, and the 40-foot game winner for Russ. It seemed like they on a collision course with James Harden's Rockets, who locked up the third seed in the West. Thunder, I think, is going to be locked in at sixth. Like you said, man, I think Russ's success has kind of overshadowed the Rockets. They've been having a great season coming out third. I think nobody would have said they're going to be third in the West before the season started. With that said, you know, who is the MVP in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, I feel like Russell Westbrook is MVP. I feel like he deserves it. Like you said, like setting that record, man, that's something that is so hard to do. Like just breaking the record in general, just the 42, and he's not barely getting triple doubles. Like he's not 10-10-10. Like, you know, he's really getting real triple-doubles out here. He might drop 40 or 50 points on you and still get a triple-double. And, see, to me, the only reason, and I'm not here to knock James Harden, whatever, he's having a really good season as well. But my thing is, at the beginning of the season, they kept trying to say that the Rockets were going to do it because the Rockets' record. But now you can't say that because the Thunder – weren't really a playoff team. They were still on the outside looking in. Now they're a playoff team, and yeah, those two are locked in. They're going to play each other. I forget when exactly they announced the MVP, but I feel like that series could determine a lot. I mean, I feel like Russell Westbrook should get the MVP, but if not, it should definitely be co-MVP. I don't feel like there's any way that Harden should just be a clear-cut MVP. I just don't see it. Not after what Russell Westbrook has completed. It's probably going to be years again since you'll see somebody do what he's done this year. Like, it's too hard.
That's true. That is true. So, by the numbers, though, so Russell Westbrook, 31 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, 10.4 assists, 10.7 rebounds, if you want to be technical. That rivals Oscar Robertson's. He had, 30 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists, 12.5 rebounds, 11.4 assists. But that year, he had to match up with 50 and 25 from Wilt Chamberlain, 18 and 23 from Bill Russell, and Elgin Baylor with 38 points a game, 10 and 18 rebounds a game, and Bob Pettit with 30 points and 18 rebounds a game. That was the most ridiculous year for people. Jerry West averaged 37 and 5, which is like LeBron numbers now. And, you know, that, this was just – those were the top five candidates there for that year, 62-61, when Oscar Robertson won the triple-double. This year, Russ and Harden probably got the best numbers. Anybody else you want to throw in there for MVP candidate? LeBron maybe?
Well, I mean, when it comes to MVP, like I said before it was MVP, LeBron can get MVP every single year if you want to break down the most valuable player. But, I mean, I already know he's not going to get it. But, you know, I mean, you can throw him in there. You can throw Isaiah Thomas in there. I mean, people coming into the season, they were like, okay, the third seed or, you know, fourth or third seed, people were saying that because they did make a lot of acquisitions and then over the offseason, but it was just like you still were trying to wait to see who they were going to be. And Isaiah Thomas had put him on his back, and he's really been doing this thing. So, I mean, if it had to be a third person, I would say he, you know, is a top dude. He won't get it, but he's in a discussion. I'm sure he'll get votes. People will vote for him.
So 29.6 assists, 3 rebounds for little Isaiah Thomas, Celtic nowadays. LeBron's not doing bad, you know, 8 assists, 8 rebounds, 26 points. That's hardly a down year, and shooting 55% from the field. People will say things about his three-point shot, you know, being just 36%. That's pretty good. He really doesn't take that many.
This is probably one of his highest years when it comes to three-point percentage shooting. It's just that, like I said, LeBron's just taken for granted. It's just one of those guys he's taken for granted. People, he can do all these things, and it's just like, okay, it's LeBron. He's supposed to do it. So he'll probably never get another MVP for the rest of his career just based upon, like, just the way that voting goes. And like I said, he's taken for granted.
Think people are bored with him? I wouldn't dare say that, but you think so? You think that's what it is?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I said, do you think that maybe the voters, you know, because it's voted on by sports writers and everything, do you think they're bored with LeBron, like bored with the numbers, like because he does, like you said, he does this every year? I mean, I'm just going through the numbers.
I just think that they'll look at his season and look at his numbers and be like, oh, okay, well, this is LeBron. Like, he's supposed to do this type of thing. Like, even with certain players, like, you look at – and they're just starting to come and get into their own. That's why I feel like it's not going to happen for them. It's just I think that may be it. Maybe it's just that they are bored. I don't know, but I know that he could get it every single year just based upon the most valuable player. I mean, the numbers don't lie. They show what the Cavs' record is like when LeBron isn't playing. It's just not good.
It's not good at all. So he hasn't won an MVP since 2012-2013. That year he averaged just 26.7 assists, 8 rebounds on 56% shooting. So compared to this year, he's at 54% shooting, a little bit down. He's actually shooting a little bit worse. That was his best year shooting from the three. He was at 40%. Same amount of points, actually more assists. So, like you said, same numbers every year. I think that's my point. You know, they're getting a little bored with LeBron. Anyway, again, other people that are in the MVP race, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, some saying Stephen Curry, because Steph Curry's numbers are actually pretty similar to what he's done his first year winning the MVP, but you know how I feel about that. I think that was James Harden's MVP year. A lot of people mm-hmm. pushing for John Wall and Gordon Hayward to at least be in the conversation. I don't think anybody's saying that they are the MVP. You know, the way Gordon Hayward has put Utah Jazz, they are very, very quietly the fourth seed, usurping the Clippers and the Thunder. I don't think people thought the Jazz, even though the Thunder were going to take a step back, I don't think people thought the Jazz were going to be as good as they were this year. And then the Wizards, I mean, John Wall just speaks for himself. He don't get enough TV time.
Yeah, the Jazz, I would say that's a real big sleeper team because they've had the pieces. Like, they were young. It was just like, were they going to come together? Back to touching on that MVP topic, though, like, as you can, that proves my point. Like, when it came to Seth Curry, like, look at his numbers from there when he won. Even with LeBron, look at the last time when LeBron won. Their numbers are damn near identical to that when they actually won it. And both times, both players, I mean, I know you don't think Seth Curry should have won, but the majority of people, like, were voting for them. So it's like now these same numbers, different year, and then look at it. And it's just like, it's something with that. If a person can have the exact same numbers that they had, how is the MVP discussion that much different from you from that year to this year? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I will
unless somebody else's numbers are completely outrageous. Like, I agree with, like, this year, because, you know, the Russell Westbrook thing, that's just unheard
exactly.
of. Like,
that's
said,
what I was
seen
going.
That. But this isn't the only year that this is like that. It's been years with other years where there wasn't something spectacular that's happened, and a person has the same or identical, very similar numbers, and then the next year another person, just because it's a different team, I think they just want to see new faces.
True. That was I remember that year, last year, 1998, Karl Malone won over Michael Jordan. But yeah, Russell was averaging 23-7-5 the year LeBron won his last MVP, and then that first year Steph won the MVP, he was averaging 8-7-28, so even better than LeBron's numbers, both his MVP years in Miami. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it's not that Steph. I don't think Steph and LeBron is having a bad year. Personally, as a fan, it's just Russell Westbrook and James Harden having a ridiculous. Would you be mad if they had co-MVPs instead of James Harden and Russell Westbrook?
I wouldn't be mad. Only way I'd be mad is if James Harden just gets it flat out.
Oh, right. All right, I want to switch to one last thing here before I get to this one. We got 5 minutes left here on the live show. LaVar Ball. Shaking my head. Back in headlines, and this time for comments made about UCLA's loss to Kentucky in this year's Sweet 16. He was quoted Thursday by, Southern California News, saying the Bruins lost to Kentucky because his son was injured with a hand strain, and that realistically, and this is in quotes, realistically, you can't win no championship with three white guys because the foot speed is too slow. Now, when I heard this, I'm like, oh, no. It's not that I don't think that that's not true. I do think the UCLA was too slow for Kentucky, and it partially did have to do with their front court players, all of them. But it's just the wrong thing to say. The way you just generalize and say three white guys. I mean, if you were to say just those three players individually didn't have as good foot speed, he could have got his point across. But I think he was really lazy. But this is, again, I think as people probably pointed out, this is a guy who's not used to being in the spotlight. He probably says this all the time, and it's relatively brushed off, you know, by probably his family, you know, close friends. And we're just seeing it for the first time. Now, I'm going to let you call it fair or foul, but is LaVar Ball, you think he's getting too much attention at this point?
As far as too much attention. I'm really not afraid about too much attention. I feel like I don't feel like he's getting too much. I feel like he's getting what he's asking for, though. He wants the attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
right.
He wants to be in the spotlight and the headline. Like, the only thing with me, up until that comment about the white players, I had no problems with what he said or what he's been saying. You know what I'm saying? He's a dad, and he wants the
mm-hmm.
best for his kids, and he should think that his kids are the best or going to be the best. You know, so I had no problem. But then that's just, like, a generalization when it comes to the, like, to the players. And because, you know, you go on some of these teams and the best players that they had are white players. You know, some of those teams that's out there in college. And then to say that with those the play, everybody was playing better than your son. So it wasn't like your son was just out there and had dropped 50 points, and then there was the other players who, you know, the white players who let him down. They were the ones that kept him in the game. So I think, like I said, he was good up until that last statement, and that's one of the things that kind of the reason I didn't like it is because you out here trying to shop this billion-dollar deal for your kids, which – it was two companies that they said were like interested in doing it, like looking into it realistically. So it's just like you can't make these type of racist or like stereotype comments. That's where he's going too far with that.
True indeed. I kind of agree. I've been supporting him. I've been like on fire for him, you know, ever since he kind of busted onto this scene publicly. And just this last part, I'm like, you need a publicist, man. You need a publicist. You need somebody to kind of put a leash on some of your words or help you word. We got 90 seconds left on the live show. Again, it's the Tiebreaker Radio Show. Your host, Shug, and your boy, Mr. 330 in the building, discussing the sports news for the day. Again, I don't think that he's getting too much attention. I do call foul on that comment just because of the way he just generalized and said you can't win with three white guys, because realistically, like, what, Wisconsin, Duke, Gonzaga, all of these other teams have been, like, full of white guys winning it and getting to the tournament finals these past couple of years. It's always been like that. I mean, I could be general and name a whole bunch of players, white, that have been in the NBA, successful in college and the NBA over the years, but I don't think that that's necessary. We all know that the stereotypes are there, but they have been broken in some way. I just think that he was really lazy saying the comment. And to be honest, that's, you know, that's what the media is looking for. As soon as they see somebody doing well, especially a black man, it's unapologetic. They can't wait for him to say comments like this so they can pick him apart. But the same people that's supporting you is going to be the ones that's beating you down. I don't think it's all bad for him, but I do think it's going to, like, be bad for some of his kids. Like Lonzo, he's already going to the NBA. He's already a bona fide player. I think he's going to be a good NBA player, especially if you get a jump shot together. But the two other kids, man, they still got to go to college, and both of them planning on going to UCLA. Now, one of the kids was the coach's son. So, you know, how you think the coach is going to feel about that, those comments with your son playing on the team? You know, he did retract it and say, you know, kind of retract it and apologize, clean it up. But I think he is making it a little awkward for his two younger sons because they got to play on that team.
Yeah, definitely.
Now,
I feel like I said, that and you live out there with the white players. Like, so
mm-hmm.
that's who you live out there with. And you should, comments like that, trust and believe, you up here with this clothing line thing, is going to be the white people that's going to be buying your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true indeed. All right, so, I mean, that's that for the show right now for those big topics. I got a new segment I like to call 10 Words or Less. I'm presenting some maybe less than stellar topics, and we're going to try it out with me and you today and see if we can respond to each one of these subjects in 10 words or less. It doesn't have to be major. We're going to freestyle it a little bit. So first big one, Tim Tebow made a home run in his first at bat for a minor league team, unnamed, not necessary. I've long said that I'm not a big Tim Tebow fan, but what's your reaction to Tim Tebow's homer in his first at bat in the minor league? 10 words or less.
Congratulations. Good job. Isn't going to matter. You're not going to do anything in the pros.
All right. I just got one word. Overrated. That's it. Secondly, Seahawks actively shopping Richard Sherman around. Reaction, 10 words or less.
Everybody has a price, and he's somewhat on a decline.
True. My reaction, on and on it seems to go. You don't know what you got till it's gone. I think that's more than 10 words. I think I'm stopping at 8. All right. Next on the list, Marshawn Lynch, interest in playing for the Raiders. What's your response in 10 words or less?
I think it'll be good for him to get back out there, and that's a good fit for him.
Word. Marshawn Lynch returned. My reaction, beast mode in Vegas. Exciting. next, this is one that I just pulled out of the hat today. This popped up on my phone here. Myles Garrett threatened to punish the Browns if they pass on him in this year's draft. Your reaction, 10 words or less.
I like the confidence. The Browns should be glad anybody wants to play for them.
All right. My response, 10 words or less, is don't write a check your ass can't cash. Let's see. The Raptors being upset over Lance Stephenson's last-minute layup in his first home game back with the Pacers. Your response, 10 words or less?
Pull your skirt down, B.
Pretty much. 10 words or less. You're getting paid, ain't you? okay, here's another one. This is a nice one. Sage Steele, NBA Countdown host. We know Sage Steele. She used to be one of my favorite ESPN analysts. Sage Steele being replaced by Michelle Beadle on NBA Countdown. Reaction, 10 words or less.
Sounds like another Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't see that coming. Okay, my response, 10 words or less. Getting usurped by Becky with the good hair. All right, this is another one. I actually just had to do some research on this. So the Dallas Mavericks will miss the playoffs for just the second time in 17 years. The only team better than that in that span, the Spurs, with zero missed playoff times. Your reaction in 10 words or less?
They've been consistent, but it's time to rebuild. That's it.
Okay, my reaction in 10 words or less. Mark Cuban, great owner, talks too much. And lastly, this one is crazy. So the NFL, with a team headed to Las Vegas, is having concerns over a arm wrestling tournament featuring a lot of current NFL players. NFL also pressured Tony Romo to cancel a fantasy football event in Las Vegas in 2015 because it was going to be attached to a casino. So this arm wrestling event has Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker James Harrison, Marshawn Lynch, Miami Dolphins receiver Kenny Stills, Steelers center Marquise Pouncey, Oakland Raiders punter Marquette King, and Patrick Chung from the Patriots. What's your reaction to NFL's concern with the arm wrestling event in 10 words or less?
I bet the NFL players get hurt easy.
All right. All right, my response in 10 words or less, how much they paying you to lose your NFL check?
And, like, that ties back into, like it's something with the NFL. Well, with all sports, they put on there not to do any, like, dangerous activities and things like that. You know, I don't have to go, you know, me personally, I don't have to go look too far. Jason Williams from Duke, when he went to Chicago and had that motorcycle. So it's just, like, it's too risky, like, for you to be in those types of activities, especially arm wrestling. That's the sign for someone to break their wrist or their elbow or arm or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. I just think it's too much. NFL is too much like contact for you to do stuff crazy like that that's not paying you in the off season. If it's not facilitated by the NFL and you can't put it on your team's insurance, just don't do it. I know people think that they, I heard James Harrison has like a ridiculous health regimen, but that's still, you know, anything can happen with that. You're talking about Vegas, you're talking about casinos, you're talking about alcohol and money. So I don't know. Okay, so I got a little trivia question for you. So I'm just throwing this out here. So
I hope it's multiple.
All right. So Westbrook's triple double total by season since he joined the league in 2008-2009. One, one, three, zero, one, two, 11, 18, 42. Russell Westbrook has 79 career triple doubles, putting him fourth on the career list ahead of him.
Is the three ahead of him for three players ahead of him? With triple doubles?
In a
like
career.
In their career?
97. Yep. He has 90. He has 79, and he's fourth on the career list. Who are the three players that are ahead of him?
Three players that are ahead of him in triple doubles for their career.
You got to get one of them. Come on.
I mean, I would just, off top of my head, I would say, like, Oscar Robertson and Magic Johnson, but I don't know.
You got two. You got two of them. You just need one more.
Man, hold on, let me see.
So Oscar Robertson's leading with 181 of them. Magic Johnson second with 138 of them. The third on the list has 107 of them. And again, Russell Westbrook tied just past Wilt Chamberlain with 79. Wilt Chamberlain has
78. Yeah, I can't even think. I don't even know who the third person would be.
All right, cool. I mean, you did good. You got two of them, and the third one is Jason Kidd.
I was gonna guess like Jerry West or like Pistol Pete or something like that. But I don't even know Who else had it? Who had it?
Jason Kidd with 107. And then
Jason
Wilt Chamberlain,
Kidd.
78.
Okay.
Larry Bird
okay.
at 59. LeBron James with 54. Fat Lever with 43. Bob Cousy with 33. And John Havlicek with 31. Oh, Kobe, no Jordan.
Okay, okay. I forgot all about Jason Kidd. I would have said Jason Kidd, too. He was like a walking triple double, too.
That was my first one that popped up in my head before I even looked up it. And when I saw the other two, I was like, man, this is. I thought that this was going to be an easy one, but you popped the first two off the top of the head. Just missed Jason Kidd.
Yeah, those ones, I kind of figured. I just logically figured if Oscar Robertson had 41 in one season, then he had to have, you know what I'm saying?
He was one of the top
ones. And I knew that wasn't just. You know what I'm saying? I knew that wasn't just – he didn't just do that one – I mean, he made it averagely just that one year, but he was known for triple-doubles. And then I like Magic Johnson. He definitely is known for triple-doubles. But, yeah, I completely forgot about Jason Kidd. I was
now, I will say this. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just heard this thing. Colin Cowherd, now, he was talking about – he used to talk about the Cavaliers was padding LeBron's stats. Way back when, this is before he left for the first time. But now he's saying that he's got people, like people actually wrote an article that some of the centers, some of the big men for the Thunder would box out so that Russell Westbrook could get the rebound. Now, do you think that that's true? What you think about that? You think that's even possible in the NBA?
I mean, I guess it could be possible, but you putting yourself at risk of missing it. So, I guess it could happen, but I
still got to get it.
I feel like, I put it this way. I played basketball, so I know it's been times where, like, you'll put another teammate in a position to get the ball. Like, so if you boxing out, but this person can jump higher than you, and yeah, you know, it may be times, I don't think it's something that just is going and on throughout the whole game or anything like
not
that.
Not enough to affect it to where he got a triple-double
for
a season, man.
Yeah, like that. Like, I don't think it's anything like that.
And they talking about my Lakers, man, talking about they doing the worst job of tanking. These cats really don't really know numbers like that. The Lakers are third overall worst record, and that's they're three games worse than Orlando and Philly. So they're going to lose it to Philly if they actually get a better record than Orlando or Philly. So they only got two more games. So even if they win these next two, they'll still be a half game lower than the other two teams, even if the other two teams lose out. Just a terrible time to be a Lakers fan, but.
Yeah, I mean, I was just reading the thing with the Lakers. And they were just talking about, it's actually kind of talking about.
We got 15 seconds.
Ball.
You want to close out?
Yeah, definitely. Just want to say I'm glad that we're back on the air and everything. And hopefully next week we have, you know, everybody. Come through.
All right, Mr. 330, your boy Shug, we out. Tiebreaker Show.